south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. I tell it just like it is, so let's get started. Okay, today I'm going to continue on talking about what I use to keep myself safe and comfortable when I travel. And I'm going through all this stuff by popular demand because I get emails about it all the time. Now, I have to mention that for a long time, the first 3 or 4 years when I had left the States for good, I just overpacked and carried way too much crap all the time. And that's kind of like the occupational hazard for the novice traveler. For example, these days, everybody's got a Swiss Army knife or an equivalent that's way too big, bulky, and therefore expensive, and has got way too many attachments. Junk that the normal person wouldn't use in a million years, even if he was on safari in the Congo. Have you looked at those Swiss knives and their competition lately? I think sometimes this gimmicky travel stuff is more about the coolness factor than actual utility. I mean, whatever happened to basic? These Swiss Army knives now come in candy colors and transparent colors and titanium. And they've got attachments that, well, I don't know what they're for. Even expat Eddie got sucked in when he bought his last one. He paid more than $100 for his. And I'll tell you, he's got some scary looking attachments on that thing. In fact, when he's got that thing wide open with all the pointy, scary things sticking out, it reminds me of my proctologist's examining room. And for you ladies out there who can't relate, think of the movie Saw 1, 2, and 3. And here's my suggestion and what I do. I buy the cheapest Swiss Army knife that has a corkscrew built into it. And that model's just called the Tourist. And it's only about $20. Now, the reason why I mentioned you should get the cheapest one that's got a corkscrew in it is not because you're using it to open wine bottles all the time. Though you might if you're down in Chile and Argentina where the wine is great and dirt cheap. Anyway, when you buy the most basic Swiss Army knife with a corkscrew in it, one that's not loaded down with extra junk and a lot of frills, that guarantees that it'll be nice and streamlined and small, though you'll still have to give it up permanently to Homeland Security if you're flying anywhere through the States. So don't try taking it with you in the cabin. Put it in your stowed luggage. But guess what? When you're flying through Latin America, no one gives a damn. But that's another story we'll talk about some other time. Anyway, I say go basic on everything you carry. But I have some friends who say, oh, Johnny, you gotta get a Swiss Army knife with at least a light on it. And why not step up to the one with a compass? Or better yet, the one with the 20-power magnifying lens and the GPS. And a compass. Or better yet, the one with the GPS. Now, that's gotta come in handy. Well, guess what, all you chronic overpackers out there? Every cell phone and car key these days has a light on it. And they're sticking GPSs on all those toys, too. So who needs to double and triple up on that stuff? And where does it end? Why not get the one with the spoon, the hacksaw, the mini egg beater, the espresso maker, and the nose hair trimmer? You think I'm exaggerating, right? Well, when expat Eddie told me that you could get a high-end Swiss Army knife for $1,500, and that's with no special titanium case or anything, just the red typical Swiss Army knife look. Well, I lost that bet with him because he showed me that knife on the internet. He's right, $1,500. You can get carried away with that stuff. I mean, I know one expat who's got a $700 pair of hiking boots. You know the kind of guys I'm talking about, don't you? The guys that always seem to slip in the price of things they own into the conversation, you know? Anyway, the most useful part of any kind of knife like that, whether it's a Swiss one or any other brand, is not the knife part itself, it's that little precision scissors that comes with it. You'll use that thing over and over when you travel. And speaking of car keys, I always recommend that you get one of those little Swiss Army knife keychain models. They only run around $15, and you'll use that thing all the time. And your best bet is to select the smallest, cheapest one available that has that little scissors built into it. Because I tell you, there's no better or more durable little scissors than the one built into any Swiss Army knife. Those things are practically indestructible. And by the way, you could buy a cheap Swiss Army knife made in China or India too. But ironically, it won't be a Swiss Army knife then. It'll be a Chinese or Indian Swiss Army knife. Go figure whose big idea that was. And it'll probably break, rust, or fall apart after a few outings. But you know, junk like that is a great decoy to have in your decoy fanny pack, which we'll be talking about later, so stay tuned for that. Okay, so what else do you need in your travel bag of tricks? Well, you have to have some insect repellent. And it's not like insects are attacking you all the time. Sometimes they're never around. For example, in my favorite places in Latin America, the Altiplano. Those are plateau regions about 3,000 to 8,000 feet above sea level. I've talked about those regions before, but I didn't mention that these are not places where you find a lot of bugs. But they are around when you're next to rivers and jungles and forests. Even in the Altiplano areas, but not anything like down in the coastal regions or at sea level. And it seems their favorite spots to attack are your legs and feet. And what do gringos and backpacker tourists usually wear when they're trekking around through places unknown? Shorts and open sandals, of course. Duh. And there's no surer way to ruin your vacation, except for maybe getting a real bad case of sunburn your first day out on the beach, than to have about 20 bug bites on each leg the first or second day out. Ask any backpacker, they've all been through it. And you know, no matter what the green folks and the New Agers say, there's no real good natural insect repellent that I've ever seen. Except for the garlic thing. It really does work, you know. If you overdose on garlic, everyone will hate you. Bugs included. Oh, and don't worry, when you're off the tourist trail, you'll still have that gringo advantage going for you, but only when you operate at a distance. And I'm not saying those other natural remedies don't work at all either. I'm sure a lot of that stuff works quite well up north. But down here in Latin America, where the bugs are man-sized, fearless, and very hungry, forget about it. Now, I'm no big fan of DEET. You know, DEET. D-E-E-T. I know it's a nasty chemical, but it's about the only thing I've seen that works down here. And even your regular insect repellent off in that orange can. It does have some DEET in it. But when the bugs are around, it only works about a half an hour down here. And that deep woods off in the yellow or green can, which is promoted as regular off on steroids, when you're at sea level at dusk and you're near a forest, a beach, or a river, deep woods off is pretty weak. All it is regular off with a little more DEET in it. That stuff will only work for an hour or so. And forget about the lotions and those DEET impregnated handy wipes and stuff. Sure, they work, but they're sticky and uncomfortable, and they always stain your clothes. Besides, you gotta touch those things and your fingers get saturated. So think about that next time you want to eat a snack when you're out exploring. And please, don't tell me you don't use your fingers to eat when you're out on vacation. I've yet to see a single tourist eat a bag of potato chips with surgical gloves on, you know? But back to the point. And another thing, you always want to travel light. That should be a basic rule for everything you carry in your kit. For example, in the case of bug spray, you don't want to bring a 6 or an 8-ounce spray can like your regular can of off. It takes up way too much room. You want something much smaller than that so it's convenient. And there's this product that a lot of long-term expats, the ones that live near jungles and lakes and streams, they talk about it all the time. It's called Repel 100. And you can get it in very small 1-ounce bottles, which is a perfect little size. So unobtrusive. And you could get a 4-ounce size too. But my advice, stick to the 1-ounce jobs. And this stuff's called Repel 100 because it's got 100% DEET. So this stuff is like industrial moonshine DEET. Very strong. And it really works and you don't have to use much at all. One spray will last you all day or all night. And it runs $5 to $10 depending on which size you get. And I recommend you buy a 6-pack of the 1-ounce jobs just to have a few extras, but you only have to carry one at a time. I mean, they're really small. And let me just add that I know a few archaeologists working on Mayan digs down here who use that stuff and swear by it. How do you think I found out about it? So what better recommendation can you have than that? And these guys don't like nasty synthetic chemicals any more than you or I do. They're the enlightened scientific tree-hugging type, so if there was a better, more natural way, they'd use it. And by the way, even they skip the garlic. And these guys are sweating it out 24/7 in the jungle. Oh, and another thing, people often ask me, what do the locals use? You know, the guys that make 200 or 300 bucks a month. What do they use to repel the insects? The answer? Nothing. And you know, they just don't complain about it either. And I've asked this question to local doctors, and they told me that most of the indigenous people in Latin America have great immunity to the local diseases, but they do have low-level blood and skin and organ infections going on all the time. Because they live in houses with dirt floors, drink tap water, eat with their fingers, and don't have the opportunity to take many baths. And even after that day in and day out exposure to all that bacteria and crud, they still have just about the same life expectancy as a first world person. Go figure. Doctors down here claim it's because of the fruits, the vegetables, and the bactericidal and antiparasitic effects of all that chili pepper. Okay, let's get back to what I use in my travel kit. Now, regarding carrying corrosive things like bug spray, and even sunblock or any creams or liquids at all, which obviously are going to get stored somewhere in your fanny pack, backpack, or luggage somewhere, I always put the bottles in a Ziploc freezer bag and burp the air out of it, of course, before you seal it. Because no matter how nice and organized you pack, your suitcase and backpack are going to get bounced around, and if those things leak, you're screwed. And by the way, speaking of those Ziploc freezer bags, I always carry two or three with me, and I roll them really tight, the small ones, condensed down to a tube like that, by wrapping three or four good-sized rubber bands around them. And you'd be surprised how many times those rubber bands come in handy when you're on a trip. Oh, and don't forget to pack a few ear swabs, too. Those things really come in handy, too. Just stick 5 or 10 of those and a couple of toothpicks in your Ziploc bags before you roll them up into a tube. I guarantee if you're out on the road long enough, you'll make real good use of them. Now, let's talk a little bit about your hotel room. And hopefully it's not a backpacker joint that you're sharing with 7 people who snore and 7,000 fleas that don't. They just bite. If you're staying in a fairly new 2-star or better hotel, generally they'll have built into the closet somewhere some kind of a security or strong box made out of thick metal about the size of a shoebox that'll hold most, if not all, of your valuables. You've all seen those before, and you rent the key at the desk for $1 or $2 a day. At least that's what it costs down here in Latin America. Now, I know that in the first world, a lot of these in-your-room safety boxes have a digital code you punch in. Well, I've yet to see any of those down here except in the big first world hotels like Radisson's and Hilton's and hotels like the Intercontinental. But if you're staying in some of the local 3- and 4-star hotels, the ones that aren't first world chains, they usually have the lower tech type of metal security box that comes with the key and the lock unit mechanism all in one. That means no punch codes or electronics in them at all. If you're a traveler, you've probably seen a few of those too. So, how secure are those in-room safety boxes? Well, I remember once when I was in a first world hotel chain in Cartagena, Colombia, and I forgot my combination. It was one of those digital combination jobs you don't see much down here, like I said. So anyway, I called down to the front desk, and about 15 minutes later, two guys came up, and one had a little handheld electronic gadget, and he slipped it over the top of the keypad, and about 3 minutes he had the thing open. And, well, that didn't make me feel so good. All I could think was, where could I get one of those things? Definitely somewhere on the internet, right? And then I asked the more important-looking of the two guys, how many of those little electronic gadgets were floating around the hotel, and how many of the employees knew how to use them, and he said, oh, don't worry. Yeah, right, don't worry. Those famous last words you hear all over Latin America, don't worry, which in Spanish translates, no preocuparte. No preocuparte, which literally means don't be preoccupied. And when you hear that phrase, that's when you should start worrying. Anyway, he told me that they only have one of those electronic safecracker gadgets in the hotel, and it's locked in the main safe in the manager's office way back past the check-in desk in the lobby. And it's never allowed to be taken out of the manager's office unless you sign for it, and there's 2 people present with it at all times, 2 employees. At least, that's what he told me, and he did stutter a bit while he said it. And then he gave me a reassuring look, which didn't soothe me much because I know how Latin Americans operate. They're just not into the details. Not that they're innately dishonest or anything. But, like expat Eddie always says, Latins are no more dishonest than the next guy, and he ought to know he's got 100 of them working for him. Anyway, the bottom line is this. Go ahead and put your passport and your ID documents, your camera and your smartphone and your iPad in there. But I wouldn't put any expensive jewelry or hefty amounts of money in there. Nothing over, let's say, $300. And remember in the last show, I talked about how to hide your money on your person with those zipper money belts and those waterproof dry pack pouches too. So there's no need really to hide your main stash of money and valuables in your hotel room safe. I mean, of course, if you're going out for the day or night and you're out and about, you can and should take all that stuff with you. And no one will be the wiser if you follow those pointers and tips I gave you in the last show. Now, I did say you could carry your valuables and your money and your credit cards and your IDs and stuff with you, but let's not get carried away. You don't want to be walking around with 10 ounces of gold, 15 credit cards, and 35 grand in cash. That would be nuts. I'm talking about reasonable amounts of money and valuables now. I mean, you could easily fit $1,000 in your zipper belt alone. And if you're carrying around things like diamond rings and Rolex watches, you're pretty much clueless anyway. And if you get that stuff lifted, I've got no sympathy for you at all. Now, I know a lot of you guys like to travel low budget. I do sometimes myself, but not backpacker or hostel style. You know my minimum standards. I need my own room and my own bathroom. Anyway, down here in Latin America, the majority of those places, on the medium to lower end, don't have an in-room safety box. And I'm always leery of leaving anything at the front desk of any hotel unless they can show me that they've got a nice big safe that's locked and not left open all the time. And just a hint about that here. Don't become overconfident when you see a nice safe behind the front desk or through the door in the manager's office, because often they have a nice big secure safe and they'll leave the door open all day long because it's easier for the staff to go in and out of there without screwing around with the tumblers or pestering the manager to open it. Usually only the manager and maybe one other person has the combination to the safe. Well, if that's the case, I don't have to tell you it's a bad idea to let them guard your stuff. Because even if the door is closed and locked all night long, which it usually is, you've got 5 or 10 different staff people walking past that thing all day long. In fact, once I was staying at a very nice little middle-class hotel in Roatan, a nice mom-and-pop place, and when I checked in, they actually mentioned that they could hold my valuables in their safe, and they pointed to it. A big old safe with the door open. And when I looked at it, I could see a bunch of other ID documents and envelopes with names on them and stacks of credit cards and a couple of boxes of Cohibas. Man, that safe was just asking to be looted. Matter of fact, I was thinking about stealing those Cohibas myself. But seriously, it was the last place I want to put my things. So the question is, what if you do have a lot of money and you don't want to put it in your room safe, and chances are it won't have one anyway, and you don't want to give up a stack of hundreds or a couple of gold coins to the guy at the front desk, who says his wide-open safe is nice and secure? Basically, for one thing, it's a bad idea to let anybody know you've got that kind of stuff on you anyway. And that's where backpackers have the advantage, really. And why hotel and restaurant owners don't like them much at all. Bad for business, they say. They bring other backpackers, too. They don't look like they've got 2 pesos to rub together. Not to mention, they're always scruffy and they're very crappy tippers. Though in the interest of full disclosure, I'll have to admit that the worst tippers are generally the French, with the Germans running a close second. So that would mean a tour bus full of French and German backpackers would be a restaurant or hotel owner's worst nightmare now, wouldn't it? So what do you do if you have substantial cash or valuables on you and you're at a hotel? You don't want to be hauling an excess amount of that stuff with you everywhere you go. Well, here's what you do. You take out that old Swiss Army knife I told you about, and you look around your hotel room for a light switch plate or a socket where you plug in a lamp or an appliance. And you unscrew that plate if it has a screw, or you pop it off with the newer ones. And you'll see when you pop that plate off, a nice little hollow wall space that had been covered up nicely by the plate you just took off. And now you've got a very secret place to hide your cash and your valuables. Then you slip that cover plate back on and you're in business. But make sure you put it back on correctly and straight. And the best place to find one of these outlets is behind a dresser or a bed. There's a second layer of protection there because the maid rarely cleans behind those things. And even if there isn't an electric plate like that behind a bed or a dresser, just find anyone and use it. And by the way, the only downside to using that method is if you have an innate fear of electricity and electric shocks. Because obviously when you pull that plate off, you're going to see some wires and stuff that are going to look kind of scary to you. And that's one of the reasons why I always suggest you have two pairs of latex or vinyl gloves in your travel kit like I do. And remember, you can compress those things down to nothing. And if you got those gloves on while you pull off an electric plate and shove some money in there, you don't have to ever worry about getting shocked. And in the odd case that you have some gold with you or a Rolex or something metal and valuable, well, that's a kind of a different story. And that's why you have two pairs of vinyl or latex gloves. You just take one of those gloves and you pack your gold coin or coins or Rolex or diamond necklace or ring into the fingers of one of those gloves. Now, as you push it into that little empty wall space, it's completely insulated and you'll never shock or short anything out with that either. Now, I know these sound a little bit like James Bondish kind of tricks, but this stuff is good to know, and both expat Eddie and I have used these techniques on more than one occasion. And believe me, when I've been in the Middle East and in Africa, I used them all the time. Because, you know, those places are absolutely riddled with thieves. And basically, unless you're in a five-star hotel in Saudi Arabia, where all the sultans and princesses and their concubines are hanging out, you don't want to let anyone know, especially the staff, that you got any valuables on you at all. They'll even steal fruit and peanut butter and cookies and phone chargers that you leave around your room. Oh, and just one more thing about those in-room wall safes. Now, one time about 2 years ago, expat Eddie was staying at a nice hotel in Panama, and he had one of his usual I-can't-remember-what-I-did-last-night episodes. So he couldn't remember what he did with the key for his hotel room safe. And after he and his girlfriend spent like a half an hour tearing apart the hotel room, they still couldn't find it. So he called down to the front desk and told them his dilemma, and they said they'd be right up. Well, a half an hour, then 45 minutes, and an hour went by, and Eddie called down again, and the front desk said the maintenance guy must have gone out to lunch, he'd be there very soon. And then nearly another hour passed, and they still hadn't come by. Now, normally, the safe is usually bolted down in one of the closets, always with the back of the safe butting up to a wall, usually a cement or block or some very solid wall. Now, Eddie is one of those guys, you see, who doesn't have a lot of patience with mechanical things. We've all got a friend or two like that, you know? Now, Eddie has an infinite amount of patience with other things in life. I gotta say, he's got an infinite amount of patience with people. A lot more than I have. But when he's stumped by mechanical things, he can explode. Like, for example, when a parking meter or a Coke machine doesn't accept his quarter or his dollar, or just eats it up, Eddie won't walk away. He'll just give it a good, swift, hard kick. Or 10... I remember once when I was in a big shopping mall in Salvador with Eddie, and we were finished for the day and going back to his car, so he had to get his parking ticket validated in one of those machines where you stick it in and it tells you what you owe. Anyway, in Salvador they use the US dollar for everything except the coins. The Salvadoreños have their own coinage, and that's all they have left of their money supply and their so-called national heritage. No colonial despots or genocidal dictators on their money. Not anymore. Now they can blame our dead presidents. And by the way, those countries that do not have their own paper money and use U.S. dollars, like Salvador, Panama, and Ecuador, when you visit those countries, you don't have to bring nice, crisp, unmarked $20 bills like I always suggest when you visit other Latin countries. Luckily, if you're in Panama, Salvador, or Ecuador, you can bring all kinds of crummy bills down there, torn, stained, peed on, or otherwise, and they'll accept them everywhere just like in the States. No questions asked. And that's why a lot of expats living in adjacent countries, like for example Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala, after a while they'll start accumulating a nice collection of U.S. bills that the local banks and businesses won't accept. But all they have to do is walk or drive to the Panama or Salvadorian border, for example, and trade them in for nicer looking bills. Or go on a spending spree there. So anyway, back at the Salvadorian mall with Eddie, he put the ticket into the machine to get it validated, and it asked him to deposit $2, which he did, and it just would not accept one of these dollars. And it was a new dollar too, just kept kicking it back to him. So after about three or four times of trying that same bill, Eddie did what he always does when machines don't cooperate. He gave it a nice, quick, hard kick and tried putting that money in again. But it still wouldn't take that odd dollar of his. Now, by this time, there's maybe six or seven people in line behind us, and they just can't believe that Eddie's kicking this machine. But when he turns back to look at them, they're smiling like, man, just keep kicking that bastard. Because, you see, the average Latin is just too timid to do anything like that. Like I said, Latin governments have taught their citizens since birth that standing in long lines forever and ever is a cultural heritage and a national pastime. So anyway, after Eddie kicks this thing about 10 times, and it's pretty loud now, a security guy comes walking quite quickly out of the mall's entrance and gets right into Eddie's face, gives him a scowl, and points to a button that says, basically, press this button if you need assistance. And so Eddie makes a big show out of pressing that button, and he turns to the guy and says, I'm so glad you're here. I'm tired of kicking that thing. Go ahead. Have a crack at it yourself. You guys all play soccer. The guy never answered Eddie. He just kept scowling and stuck a pass key into the machine. And as we walked away with the validated ticket, we heard a little commotion back at the machine. And as Eddie turned back, three or four of the people standing in line gave Eddie the nod and started clapping. They actually gave him a bit of an ovation. Because, you know, only a gringo could get away with what he just did. But back to Eddie and his hotel room in Panama. Remember, he lost his key to the hotel security box. So anyway, about 2 hours passed, and Eddie called the front desk, the concierge, and the assistant manager, and he rang up maintenance, too. And still, no one came up with a spare key. So Eddie went over to the closet, took a look at the safety deposit box, grabbed it tight with both hands and wrapped his arms around it, and he started leaning on it. And it did give a little. It wasn't quite secure against the wall. Then he pulled a chair over to the closet, climbed up and sat on the edge of the box and started putting his full weight on it. Then, Eddie said, the top of the box pulled away and separated right off of the wall. Eventually, the whole thing came right off in his hands. Turns out it was held to the wall by two thick bolts, but they were only protruding into the wall by about an inch to an inch and a half. Not much, considering that metal box itself probably weighed 20 pounds. Now that's when Eddie's girlfriend freaked out, because nice, calm Latin people just don't do those things. And Eddie's all pleased with himself. He's got this big grin on his face, and he says to her, I'll be right back. And he opened the door, and he walked down the hall to the elevator, passing people here and there who stared at him quite strangely as he walked by with this thing in his arms. And he got into the elevator where there were some other folks present who were also quite surprised to see that. And he rode the elevator down to the lobby holding this thing. And he walked up to the front desk, laid it down, and said to the manager, whose eyes were pretty bugged out by then, Eddie said, nobody told me when I rented this safety deposit box that it was supposed to be portable. And Eddie said the guy just picked it up and stuck it under the counter like it was a bag of dirty laundry or something and said that famous Latin line, no preocuparte, which means, of course, don't worry. So anyway, the point is, let that be a lesson to you. If some crook working for the hotel couldn't actually pick the lock on your box, he could just walk away with it. Oh, and by the way, I've seen infrequently in some of the 3- and 4-star hotels, they have actual safety deposit rooms like they do in banks, where you have a key and the manager has a key and you both have to use them at the same time to open it. That's about the best hotel security you're ever going to get. So when I do run into them, which is very infrequently, I do use them. And the last time I used a really secure box system like that, when the front desk clerk handed me my key and said, no preocuparte, señor, don't worry. For once, I actually believed him.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. Coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture.